beginning now, and it will carry on for a while, discourse on the sacraments. And, because this is the way the Lord is with us. And so we heard all about the preparation and the passion and the resurrection, and now the resurrected life as it is in the church. You see? And so you have this magnificent description of community life in the first reading. Huh? The community of believers was of one heart and one mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they had everything in common. Now you've got to have quite a grace. If you're celibate and don't have a family, who cares? Looks after the money. I'll get fed somehow. But when families try this, it's quite a challenge. But it works. But you need a special anointing. Huh? So then, you see, with great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded to them all. So they must have been humble. They had, great power. They were healing people and doing lots. But everybody liked them, except the leaders. But everybody else liked them, you see. And now, one of the first fruits now of this power of the resurrection, there was no needy person among them. For those who owned property or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and put them at the feet of the apostles. And they were distributed to each according to need. That Luke here is showing how the grace of the resurrection finally brings about one of the great ideals of, early Greek culture, but we had them here. We had these intentional communities. Huh? You don't remember that, I bet. But lots of people tried this. There used to be a whole group up there around Lake Erie, I guess it was. Isaac Hecker, the founder of the Paulist, belonged to one of these groups before he became a Catholic. This is something about, let's not cling to everything we got, but it's hard to work out. But the ideal, and Luke is aware of this, the Pythagoreans used to do this. I'm not going to go on forever, but this, it's trying. Why, you see? To get rid of things that cause division. And so Aristotle has a description. For him, it can only happen when there's friendship. So he has this phrase, kina ton philon. It's proper to friends to have all things in common. So it's friendship for Aristotle. And then, just Joseph went and did this. Well, if everybody's doing it, why stop and tell us about Joseph? In other words, they're not mathematicians, you see. But they are saying, you see, he sold a piece of property and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. Take care of whoever needs it, you see. And Luke has another line here. There was no needy person among them. That's a line from the book of Deuteronomy. Let there be no needy person among you. So what are the fruits of the resurrection? You see, is confidence. I can't lend you this $10 because I might need it. Confidence. And friendship. Now, you know, we do pretty well, I think. We can all do better. But you see, as I say, the challenge is with families. You know, if you don't have a husband or a wife and children, you know, so you want to split your money, mileage, why not, you know? But it does work when the power of the Holy Spirit is there. But what does the Holy Spirit create? Friendship. Friendship. And that is more powerful than just the simple division of goods. Because that means love. You see? Kina, ton philon. Proper to friends to have everything in common. But that doesn't mean it has to be, you know, put it all on the floor there and we'll divide it up. You know, it means something much deeper. Now I don't have much time for Nicodemus, do I? Well, this was a man, Nakdimon Ben Gurion is his name. In Greek, Nicodemus. He was one of the wealthiest and most powerful men in Jerusalem. In fact, when the Romans started to besiege Jerusalem, the Ben-Gurion family went to the leaders and said, between us, we have enough to support the whole city for about 4 years. So if they besiege us for more than 4 years, we're in trouble. But for 4 years, that's a lot of money. You know, it's a pretty big city. So he comes, he's a devout man, and he comes to Jesus, you see. And Jesus is trying to raise him. You know, he's a very devout man. He studies the law every day. He's willing to give away all his money to support the city. I mean, but our Lord challenges him. You must be born from above. You must be born again. It's the same word, anothen, in Greek. Something has to change, you see. Now that's the part, you see, that begins to challenge us. Because we do live right now, and we're celebrating between now and Pentecost, the risen Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior and our friend and our companion and our food and our drink. So how well do we get along? And not just here. You know, in church it's easier. But there's something being held out to us here that has to touch the heart. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And here, Jesus trying to get Nicodemus up a notch, right? Nicodemus, you're doing very well. But I've come to institute a whole other level of life where the Trinity dwells in you, and the love and the power and the enthusiasm and the generosity of the Trinity will take over your life. That's what is being offered here.